Okay, so we're going to start with the first part of the shir, Shaila, which is Negea, unfortunately, right now. And it's a very interesting sugya, so we'll start with that part of the shir. And the Shaila is that one of, unfortunately, if a person is affected with the coronavirus, one of the symptoms they could have is a lack of taste. They can't taste. They can't taste anything. So the So they can't taste anything. So the shaila is: are if you're yotzei marer without tasting anything, what's the shaila? The shaila is based on a gemara in Psachim. The gemara in Psachim says: bala matzah yatza, bala marer lo yatza. If a person swallows matzah without chewing it, they're yotzei. If they swallow marer without chewing it, they're not yotzei. So the Gemara, that's the girsa that we paskin like. That is a machlokes in the girsois, but that's the girsa that we paskin like. And that halach is brought down in the Rambam, and that halach is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. The bala matzah yotza, avon bar marer lo yotza. And the Mechaber explains from the Rambam, and why are you not yotzei if you just swallowed marer without chewing it? So the Gemara says, the reason why you're not yoytzei is because the tam maror ba'inan. Because you need to taste the maror. As the Levush says, the Levush explains it very nicely, is that as we say in the Pesach Seder, that maror is zecher, levayimaru eschayeim ba'avoida kasha. So says the Levush, the gabi maror, tam maror ba'inan v'leisagi b'bliya. You can't just swallow it. Why? Because achilas mar ain't a male akaris. It's not there to fill you up. Just swallowing it, that doesn't give you a zecher to the marirus, to the bitterness of Mitzrayim. Ve'ino margish tam hamarirus shu zecher levayimaru. And memela, you are not having a zecher for the vayimaru eschayim ba'avoy dakasha, because you're not tasting any marirus. Lefikach b'marur ain't a yoytze b'blia. You're not yoytze if you swallow it straight without chewing the tam marur brina. Now let me just speak out. Obviously, that does not mean to say, well, I have to have chrein as opposed to romaine lettuce, because the Aruch HaShulchan already explains that romaine lettuce, even though it doesn't taste bitter right now, but since there is whatever reason it's classified as marer, it's classified as marer because it used to be marirus. When it's b'sharoshav, it's marer. So memela, it's classified as marer. And as long as you taste the taste of that particular type of marer, that's called tam marer. You don't have to taste bitterness. You have to taste the taste of the marer. So if that's called marer, then the taste of that is enough. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that's why it doesn't matter if you're tasting romaine lettuce, that's also fine. Okay, so that's the pshat of the, that's what the Gemara says of tam marer ba'inan. Okay, I'm just trying to get the lighting here. Okay, the tam marer ba'inan. However, the question is, at the end of the day, you have to taste something to do with marer. You can't just swallow the marer. So if that's the case, you can't just swallow the marer. So what about this person who is eating the marer, but he can't taste anything? One of the symptoms of this virus is, for some people, that they can't taste. So if he's eating a marer, even if he is chewing, he's not tasting. So what's the difference between someone who's bala marer, who swallows it without tasting, and therefore he's not yoytzei, versus somebody that is chewing it, but they don't taste anything? So the question is, are they yoytzei? Now, just one piece of background about the first part of the Gemara, where it says, bala matza yatza. So why? So apparently it's because we don't care about the tam of the matzah. The main point of the matzah is that you're eating matzah. You did a maisa achila on matzah. And belief, swallowing something without chewing, is considered a maisa achila. And therefore, that's called your yoytze, the mitzvah of matzah, because you did a maisa achila. You did the act of eating without necessarily chewing it. Okay, so apparently we don't care about the tam matzah. However, there's a Gemara that says that if you cook matzah, Gemara Ketzim Varchim Daf Lamed Ches, and it's brought down in Psachim Mem Aleph also, that the Gemara says that if you were mevashal matzah, so rokeh kamavashal, you're not yoytzei. we pass in machlokes tanoim, and we pass in ayotze. So why? So the Gemara says because tam matzah, but because you lost the tam matzah. So apparently we do care about tam matzah. So why does the Gemara say bala matzah yotzah? Because we don't care about tam matzah. L'chor, we do care about tam matzah because if you cook it and you lost the tam matzah, you're not yotze the mitzvah. So apparently we do care about tam matzah. So that all the mafarshim say, the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Lamelech, all the Achrayim pretty much say the same answer, is because this that you need tam matzah doesn't mean you have to taste it, but it has to be matzah that has a tam matzah. It has to be matzah that tastes like matzah. So the matzah itself has to taste like matzah, and therefore you have to eat the matzah which tastes like matzah. But and therefore if you cook it and you lost the tam matzah, what you're eating is lacking the flavor of matzah, and therefore it's not considered matzah. But once it's considered matzah, as long as you eat it, you're yotze. You don't have to actually taste the matzah itself. You don't have to actually taste the tam matzah. You just have to eat matzah which has tam matzah. And therefore, that's enough. So therefore, that's just parenthetical. So bola matzah, you're yotze. But bola mara, you're not yotze, because again, we're saying it's not enough that the mara has tam. It has to be that you yourself taste the tam, taste the flavor of the matzah, of the mara. So again, the question is that if that's the case, that it's not enough that the mar has tam, like by matzah, as long as the matzah has tam, it's enough. Here, it is, both things are true. Number one, the matzah has to have tam. And number two, the mar has to, you have to, the number two, well, number one, the mar has to have flavor, taste like mar. And number two, you have to taste the tam mar. So again, the question is, if you're not tasting the tam of the mar, so, how are you yoytze the mitzvah? Or can you be yoytze the mitzvah in that case? Okay. So the, now, one could say, well, pashtus, it would seem like you're not yoytze, because again, the main thing is you have to taste it. But there's another reason. And really, one would argue that perhaps it even goes a step further than that. There's a rush in Psachim, the rush in Psachim in Simen Chaf Hei says, and the oh, here it is, and here it, he says that. He explains, why do you need to eat a kazayas of mar? So normally we would say, what do you mean? Of course you have to eat a kazayas of mar. The same reason you have to eat a kazayas of matzah, and you have to eat a kazayas of every other mitzvah. Of course you have to eat a kazayas of mar. Because every time that it says achila in the Torah, regarding anything that says an achila, the din is, you have to eat a kazayas. So of course you have to eat a kazayas of mar. But the Rosh doesn't say that. The Rosh says that the reason why we have to eat a kazayis of matzah, in Simen Chaf Hei in Arvei Psachim, he says, the reason why you have to eat a kazayis is because since we make a bracha of al achilas maror, so therefore you mention achila in the bracha, and therefore if you eat less than a kazayis, you didn't eat it. And therefore, mishum de mevarach al achilas maror tzarech shiyoich al kazayis. So the Shagas Aryeh asks on the Rosh, why does the Rosh need to come out to this reason? Because you made a bracha of al achilas marer, and therefore it mentions the word achila, eating, in the bracha, and therefore you have to eat a kazayis. You have to eat a kazayis because it's a mitzvah to eat marer. So of course you have to eat a kazayis. That's the Shagas Aryeh's question. So some achrayim don't learn the Rosh that way. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Chela Gimel on Archaim, Simen Nun Vav maybe. So he says over there, that's not what the Rosh means. All the Rosh means to say is lafuke karpas. Karpas, so you don't make a brach of al achila on it. You talk, don't need to make a kazayis. But here, since this is a mitzvah and you're making a brach on it, you have to eat a kazayis. That's all the Rosh means to say. But the simple reading of the Rosh is not that way. The way the Shagas Aryeh learns the Rosh is that because you're making a brach of al achila, that's what al achila's mar, that's why you have to make the mar, the bracha. So the question, in fact, the Shagas Aryeh, the reason you have to make a brach, eat a kazayis is because it's like every other mitzvah, you have to eat a kazayis. So Reb Chaim, in the stencils, and it's brought down in the Haggadah, in the Brisker Haggadah there in by Mar. So Reb Chaim says, the answer to this question is, the reason why, the answer to the question is because, really, you don't have to eat Mar. Because it never says in the Torah anything achila by Mar. It says only tzlieshu matzus al merurim yoichluhu. It says to eat the korban pesach with mar, but it doesn't say to eat mar. It says to eat the korban pesach, and on top of the korban pesach, you have to put mar. And therefore, since midiraisa, The only thing you have to do is eat Korban Pesach. And when you eat Korban Pesach, you have to put Maror on top, but it never says Achila regarding Maror. So therefore, there's no din Achila on Maror. And therefore, there's Bechlam no din you have to eat it, because there's no din Achila at all on Maror. And that's what Rebbe Chaim says, and that's Pshat in the Rosh. So if that's the case, so L'chara, if there's no din Achila, what is the din? L'chara, the din is only the tam. The whole din is to taste the flavor, to just have the time of the matzah, to just have the time. Now, according to that, again, it would make no sense to say that someone that doesn't have the time, even if they're eating it and they're chewing it, but because they have an illness, they can't taste. So therefore, l'chor den ayotze, according to this Reb Chaim, that there's no din achila, doesn't say anywhere to eat the mar. All it says is a rush and you're making a bracha. So this guy didn't, but there's no din achila in the mar. And it makes sense because the Gemara says the bala, you're not yotze because you didn't have the time. So it seems like not only do you need time, but it's opposite. It only depends on time, and there's no achila whatsoever. The whole thing is just eating time. Now, there's actually halachic ramifications of this point that the Rosh says that you should eat if the whole reason to eat a kazayis is because of the bracha. Because what happens if there's a chayla that can't eat a kazayis? He was told that he cannot eat a kazayis of mar, it's going to make him sick. So there's a Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says if he can't eat a kazayis, me pray briu, so it's in tough ayin gimel, sev katan mem gimel. Don't make a bracha, but you should eat either less than kazayis or chew up the mar a little bit. So what's the Mishnah Berurah saying? Like a feel good, you know, if you can't eat a kazayis, so just eat less than a kazayis. I mean, why is he saying that? And then he says even more. And if you can't eat less than a kazayis, then just chew it up and spit it out. Just to taste the marir, right? You feel left out. That he feels left out of the Seder. He wants to be like everyone else. Everyone else getting into it with the mar. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense. Where do you find such a thing? That just because he can't do it, so do less than the kazayis. So there is a Mishnah Melch that says that just like chatzis shir also in Atar, there's an idiom of chatzis shir and mitzvahs also. That chatzis shir and mitzvahs is something. There's such a Mishnah Melch like that, but it doesn't sound like what the Mishnah Berurah is saying, because then it's a general rule, you know, in general. So have less than a shir. But he says oyilois befin zeicher tam riris. So it sounds like he's saying that this Rosh that says that the only reason you're making that there's a shir kazayis is because of the bracha. So here this guy cannot eat a kazayis, so let him do the Rosh's mitzvah less than a kazayis. He just won't make a bracha. So now he's not making the bracha. He's not saying achila. And therefore he kataka eat less than a kazayis. And it'll be yoytze. Or taste the tam. It sounds very much that the main inyan is the tam. More than that, there's a Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim is in... the Prima Gadim is in Tafayin Gimel Eshel Avram Tes. The Prima Gadim says that it could be that you're allowed to eat maror. It could be that you're allowed to use a type of maror that's not considered food. There's all sorts of gedarim in Tumah V'Tahara and other places whether you're allowed to use. What makes something royal achila? So the Prima Gadim says even if something's not royal achila, you could be yotzei mara with it. So the Bir Halacha asks, what do you mean? But you have to do an achila on mara. But it could be you don't have to do an achila on mara, because according to this, there's no din achila on mara. So you could even use something which is not considered oichel. It's not considered food halachically speaking. There's also a Rashi in Sukkah. Daf Yud Gimel, I don't know if it comes up to Daf Yud, whoever's learning Sukkah, the first parak, but Daf Yud Gimel in Sukkah, it says over there, there's a whole shaila, which meaning of vegetables are makabel tumah, if you're allowed to put them on for schach. And Rashi over there says that anything which is kosher, just because something is kosher for maror, doesn't mean it's makabel tumah. It could be it's not makabel tumah, it's not considered food. Tosfos says, what do you mean? How could Rashi say that maror is not food? Maror has to be food. But according to this, it's not necessarily true. Maror doesn't have to be food. It could be you don't have to do achila on maror. The main thing is to taste the maror. So if that's what you're going to say, that the main thing is to taste the maror, and there's no din achila on maror, so if you're going to say that, then L'chaira, someone that's not tasting the maror, it doesn't make sense that he should be yotze the mitzvah. However, Rosh Hashanah Zalman has a tshuva, and Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, what happens if someone, if that's the case, and what happens if someone just chews up the maror? he's sick, he can't eat it, so he just chews up the mara, he tastes it gevaldik, then spits it out. Is he yotze? We know there's a machlokes, what's called achila hanas me'ayim, hanachas groinai, what's considered achila, tasting something or going through your system. So it's a question. So he says, perhaps, one could be yotze just by chewing it and then spitting it out. So he says, no, of course not. You have to do an achila also. You have to do an achila as well. It's not just so simple that you could go ahead and say that, no, all you have to do is taste it. No, tasting it is magdir. It explains what type of achila do you need to do. You need to do an achila which will give you time. He doesn't say that. But the point is that he says, of course you need to eat it. You can't just chew it up and get the flavor and then spit it out. You have to eat it. You have to do a ma'aseh achila. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman says. And the mabit, and really the Mishabura Paskin's like that. Because the Mishabura brought down that idea that perhaps you could chew it and spit it out, but you don't make a bracha, you're not yotze the mitzvah with that. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says that it's not enough to chew it. I mean, he says that you need an achila. And interestingly, there's a mabit. The mabit says that this whole chiddush that he agrees to what Reb Chaim says, but he says a very interesting kenetch on it. He says that l'chayra the whole din of bala marer yatsa, that your yotze by eating marer, I mean bar marer lo yatsa, I'm sorry, that bar bala marer lo yatsa, because you need to taste the marer, he says that was only in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it's like we explained, there's no din to eat marer. The whole din was just to put the marer into your Korban Pesach. So as long as you're putting your marer into the Korban Pesach, it's fine. You're yotze the mitzvah. But nowadays, says the Mabit, there's no Korban Pesach. So nowadays, he says, Avada, you have to Avada, Bala, marer is yotze also. Balomar is yotze. Meaning, what does he mean to say? He means to say, because nowadays it's a mitzvah derabanan. So what did derabanan say? They didn't say just eat it with the korban pesach. There's no korban pesach. So what must have they done? Chazal must have made a new mitzvah to eat mar and to be oichel mar. So it says the mabit, it's a kul and a chumrah. You have to eat it. So therefore you would need a kazayis and everything we talked about. It would have to be oichel, it would have to be food. You have to eat it. But there's also a kula now. You don't have to taste it because the main point is the eating. Just like matzah, the main point is the eating, and you don't really have to taste it as long as you ate it. And therefore, says the Mabit, that nowadays that the mitzvah is not just with the Korban Pesach, the mitzvah is actually a Maisa Achila, and therefore since the mitzvah is a Maisa Achila, the opposite is true. Since it's a Maisa Achila, so it comes out that you'll need a kazayis and all that, but you won't need to taste it, because as long as you have the Maisa Achila, it's enough. That's what the Mabit says, L'chor Pshat in the Mabit. So, according to that, so the whole, obviously it's a little chaser in the poiskim, but if you go like that, then of course you have to, you would have to eat eating the marr would be enough, because the whole mitzvah is eating, if I care, the mitzvah is eating it, and tasting it is not the main point. There's a Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Kuf Yudalid also, which seems to indicate that you have to eat marer, but maybe, according to that, let's say you have to eat the marer, like Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying, let's say there isn't anything to eat it. So what, why bala matzah lo yatza? You have to eat it. So the answer is, so you could still wonder, is it like two separate halachas? So you have to eat it, but you also have to taste it. Or maybe the point is not that you have to eat it, I have to taste it. The idea is you have to do an achila, the type of achila which would allow you to taste the marer. As opposed to swallowing is not that type of achila. In other words, even if you say that there's a halacha to eat the marer, but the achila of marer is not the same as the achila of matzah. Achila matzah is the regular achila, you put it down in your throat, you put it down, it's in your stomach, and you ate it. By matzah, by marer, you have to go through more of a process of an achila, and the achila of matzah is different, of marer is different than the achila of matzah. You have to actually chew it, and you have to actually get out the flavor. But there's no halach, you actually have to taste it specifically. The idea is it's explaining what type of achila do you need. There's a little bit of a riot to that, because the Gemara says that in the sugya of marer, it says, If you ate it in half, you're yotze. And the Mefarshim say means if you ate half a kazayis now and half a kazayis a little bit later, you're yotze. Obviously, it has to be within the shear of tochid the achilas pras. So the Trumas Hadeshin says, you see from here, that really the main mitzvah should be to eat mar in one shot. You should eat mar ground up, take a full kazayis, and chew it and eat it. You shouldn't do it bit by bit. There's an Indian, you should do it all in one shot. Some of the Mefarshim say it's about matzah too, but let's assume it's just about mar, what the Gemara says. So it's very interesting. Why should there be a new halacha just to eat the whole thing at one shot? So the answer is because this is not the regular achila of Kol HaTorah Kula. The regular achila that you do on matzah and you do on every other thing, that's a regular achila and has it's defined with its definition. Number one, you could do it over the course of 10 minutes. You had a kazayis over a course of 10 minutes and that's enough. Or, and you have to, and even if you don't taste it, it's enough. There's certain, but Mara has a special type of achila. It's an achila, you have to do the achila of tasting it, you have to chew it in order to taste it, and you have to maybe, according to the Gemara, eat the whole thing at once. There's an inyan to eat the whole thing at once. But the idea still is, ultimately, that if you don't learn like the Rosh, like the Shagazai, like Reb Chaim says, the idea is, of course, there's a din of achila. But the din of achila is not necessarily you have to do an achila that would bring you to tam, to bring you to lidei that you would be able to eat it. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman has another interesting psak. He says if the halacha would be that all you need to do is taste it and eat it, there's two things you have to do. You have to eat it. Number one, that's why you have to eat a kazayis, and that's why you have, you know, these halachas, you have to eat it. You can't just spit it out. You have to eat it. There's another halacha, you have to taste it. So what would be? He says, if you take a kazayis amar, you eat half of it, but you swallowed it, so you didn't taste it, and then you chewed up the other half and spit it out. So you got both. You ate, and you got flavor, right? He says, haloyes es amar upoltoi. He says, yishli stop it, but bola chatzi kazayis amar, verakas chatzi hashin li loas v'ochle kedarakoi. No, he didn't spit it out, he ate it. But he was, so he ate a full kazayis, but he only tasted a half a kazayis. Are you yotze? Right? So in other words, half a kazayis he just swallowed down. Balamatz, balamar yotze. And then he took the other half a kazayis, chewed it up, and ate it. So now he got he says, Lamaisa, maybe you're yotze, because you did both. You ate it, and you got flavor. Right? But that's not true. Because l'chara, the idea is that you have to eat it in a way that gives you tam. So if you took half of it and you didn't get time of it, that half is not considered eating it as far as Mara is concerned. But here Rabbi Shlomo Zalman does have this Shaila. What would be if you took half and ate it without flavor? And then you took the other half and chewed it. So you ate a full kazayis if you only tasted a half a kazayis. So he's mistopic about it. So l'chara, our Shaila is a very similar Shaila to that. Because what happened to this fellow that we have? He's the opposite. He chewed the whole kazayis, but he didn't taste any of it. But he didn't just boilea. So if you say that the halacha is, that there's a maisa achila, and all you have to do, you don't have to taste it. All you have to do is the maisa achila, then normally one would taste it. Right? So as opposed to swallowing it by matzah is enough, by mar you can't just swallow. You have to actually go through a more of a maisa achila. But that maisa achila would be enough if you chewed it, even if you regardless of taste. You did a maisa achila that would have gotten you to taste normally, and now you chewed it and ate it, that's enough. According to that, then there's no right? This guy that swallowed a half a zayas and then chewed the other half was not yotze because he didn't do a maaseh achila on that. But if you say that really there's two separate halachas, you have to eat it and you have to taste it, so it would come out that this guy maybe is yotze because he ate a full kazayis and he tasted also half a kazayis, so he tasted enough. He tasted mara and he ate mara, so he's good. But then the guy with this virus that can't eat anything, can't taste anything, would not be yotze because then he's not tasting anything. So l'chara, so the truth is, I was prepared I just went through the sugya and prepared this. So I was thinking with all these tzedadim, since Rosh Hashanah is misufik, and our shayla was very similar to that shayla, and we have the Reb Chaim, and we have a few of these other tzedadim, that maybe the main thing is the tam. So I was thinking that the halacha should be that he should eat it, but he shouldn't make a bracha. He should be yotzi the bracha with someone else. He should be yotzi the bracha with someone else, just in case, because there is some tzedadim like that. I saw a Balamaisa about 10 minutes before the shiur. I got an email from Lakewood. They're sending out all these emails. And one of them is from Pesachim Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky. And he actually says the very last thing is how to kosher your kitchen, how to kosher your ovens, how to do tefillas kiyum. The very last thing in that thing is someone that can't taste maror. And he says over there, you could eat the maror and make a bracha. So he says over there that you could make the bracha. There's no footnotes. It's not in. There's no explanation. But he says over there that you could taste the maror and make the bracha. So that's the psak, and that's you can definitely rely on that. I was thinking that according to what we're saying, maybe it's better to be yotzi the bracha with someone else. Because maybe it's better to be yotzi the bracha with someone else because of these tzedadim that we're mentioning. Now the Avni Nezer, just to finish with this Avni Nezer, unbelievable. The Avni Nezer says a great psak. He says that he's talking about someone that cannot eat a full kazayis. So what should he do? So he says someone that cannot eat a full kazayis should take less than a kazayis. And at least he's yoytze this rush that you yoytze with less than a kazayis. So you should eat with less than a kazayis. Okay, so good. So you should do that. But then he says, what are you going to do with the bracha? That's the problem. What are you going to do about the bracha? So zakt the Avni Nezer, you should right before you eat maror, you should take out a Rambam, Hilchos Pesach, and the Rambam Hilchos Pesach says the following. It says, Bizman hazeh, she'ein Bizman hazeh she'ein sham korban. So you take mevarach hamotzi lechem u'mevarach alachilas matzah u'metabel matzah b'chareses v'oichel, and then the Rambam says v'choizer u'mevarach alachilas maror. And then you make a bracha of alachilas mor. You take metabel matzah, you mevarach alachilas mor, and you eat it. So he says you should read this Rambam. And when you say mevarach, normally when you learn the Rambam in a sugya, you say mevarach baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam alachilas mor. As part of the Rambam, b'charis is v'oichel. So it says the Avni Nezer, what you should do is you should read the Rambam and you should learn the Rambam. Umetabel matzah b'charis v'oichel v'choizer mevarach. Then as you're reading the Rambam, you say alach. You should umevarach baruch ata, and you say Hashem's name Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. And as like learning the Rambam, so you said Hashem's name, but it's not a bracha at all because you're just learning the Rambam. And b'meila, once you're learning the Rambam, you're allowed to say Hashem's name when you're learning the Rambam, and then you said the bracha and chaperai and eat the maror before you, right before you finish the Rambam, and then right in the middle of the Rambam you eat the maror, and b'meila your yotze your bracha without a chashash of v'yomer befiv zakta Avni Nezer l'rav the milsa be'eshi itzarch lechol amaror yomer kodem achil adin b'Rambam v'yomer befiv kishoich amar yivarch bracha Hashem b'shemu malchus alachilas maror v'takef yoichal. That's the etza of the Avni Nezer. Now agav, I'm assuming the Avni Nezer holds that you say the Zechel Mikdash Kehillel before the Korach, because he holds that you're not making otherwise you're making a hefsek. What are you learning Rambam for in the middle of your Seder? You're not allowed to talk between the bracha of Alachilas Matzah till the Korach. But if you're allowed to say Zechel Mikdash Kehillel, so you're also allowed to make a hefsek that's a tzarech the mitzvah. So you're allowed to stumble learn Rambam that's a tzarech the maror too. Let's say you don't know how to fulfill the maror. So let's tzarech the mitzvah maror, you're allowed to go ahead and learn a Rambam. The mele, when you're learning the Rambam, you say the bracha, and the mele, that's the eitz of Avni Nezer. So obviously it's easier to follow Shmuel Kamenetsky's psak, and you can make the bracha. And if you want, you can have someone be miyotze you. Hopefully everyone's healthy who's listening to this shir, so it doesn't not negel ach lemaisa. But if it is, then you can have someone else be yotze you if you want the rafta the milsa. And if you want to do the avni nezer seitza, then you can bring the Rambam with you to the seder, and you could do the Avni Nezer's eights as well. Okay. Good. Okay, so I wanted to, obviously, you know, we always try to give a little chizuk before Yom Tov, Pesach, and this year we are, obviously, it's a whole different matzav, and the Yom Tov that we're in is going to be a very different type of Yom Tov. Sorry. And I wanted to maybe just discuss a little bit some points, I think, that can give some people some chizuk and maybe some areas that we can improve. You know, this situation we're in is something that is taken over the entire world and thrown everything that we know of completely off. Nothing is the same as it used to be. Nothing is the same as it once was. Nothing is the same as we've expected it to be. And it's a brand new situation for all of us. And the rest of the world, what is the rest of the world saying to themselves right now? The rest of the world is saying to themselves, I can't wait till this is over. Let's just get through this. Let's get this behind us and let's move on. Let's just make sure that we get past this situation. But as Yidden, we have to understand it's not enough for us to get past the situation. If we're put in this situation, we have to grow from the situation. Hashem is making this happen to us, and it's to us because everything that happens in the world is for Klal Yisrael. And the Chafetz Chaim used to say, whenever anything happens anywhere in the world, if it's no matter where it's happening, it's for Klal Yisrael. And for sure, if it's happening to Klal Yisrael themselves, and everyone else is coming along with us, and everyone else, but of course, it's for Klal Yisrael. And if there's something that we need to do, it's not just hope that we get past this, and it's not just to, you know, hopefully this will be over soon. We have to think about right now, why are we in this situation? Not why, we can't say why, we don't know why, but what is our response to the situation? What is it that we can do to properly respond and say, we grew from this. We walked out of this situation better people than we once were. Because if we just get past it and say, okay, it's over and now I'm back to where I was before, then we not only missed the opportunity, missed the challenge, but then we went through it for no, then we didn't pick up the call. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called us, he's dialing our phone number and we just reject. We're not picking up the call. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling, we need to pick up the phone and we need to at least say something. At least say something. We don't know what to say. We don't know why, but we have to be able to say something. So what is it that we can say and walk away from this saying that we are better people than we were before? Again, because if we're just past it, that's not for you. That's for the rest of the world. For us, we have to understand this is a situation that we need to walk out of here better people than we were once were, better people than we were before. And what is it that we can do? So the first thing is I want to talk about is what time of the year are we in? We're in a very special time of the year. We're in the days, this whole thing, at least here, blew up and started coming to its forefront in the days between Purim and Pesach. And we have Purim, we have Pesach. And there in Chazal, you find a very strong connection between Purim and Pesach. The Gemara says, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha, it's just 1 month ago, but it seems like eons ago, but it was just 1 month ago that Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. And Rashi says in Tainis, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha, Yimei Nisim Li Yisrael Purim Upesach. Means Mishenichnas Adar is ushering in the era, the time of the year, not just a Purim, but Pesach as well. Because it's all one Hemshech. Purim and Pesach is one Hemshech. The Gemara says in Megillah, if there's two Adars, which Adar do you make Purim in? You make Purim in the second Adar. Why do you make Purim in the second Adar, not the first? Because you want to connect the Geula Ahadadi. Lahakish Geula is Ahadadi. We want to connect the Geula of Purim with the Geula of Pesach. That means that there's a limud that we're supposed to have. There's a connection between Purim and Pesach. And what is that connection? And what is that's the time we're in. So let's think about what is the connection between Purim and Pesach? And the truth is, if we look in the Pesukim, we'll see an unbelievable yesod of the Geula from Mitzrayim, and where the fundamental Geula from Mitzrayim was exactly the same as the Geula in the days of Purim. The Geula from Mitzrayim, the Ramban says on the Pesukim, and we mentioned this idea in the Haggadah itself. The Pesuk says, "Vayeonchu b'nei somin ha'avoda v'yizaku." The Kaisel yelled out to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, "Vatal shav osam el elokim in ha'avoda," and the scream of Kaisel, Hakadosh Baruch Hu heard it. "Vayishma elokim es nakasi," says the Ramban. The Ramban says it's true that the time had come for the Geula. However, Herich HaKosov LaHaskir, it's Pasuk, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chafei in Shmois. It says, Herich HaKosov LaHaskir, Tainus Rabbis B'Gu'ul Asam. The Pasuk tells us all the things that it took to get the Gula. Vayishma Elokim, Vayiskor Elokim is Brisa, Vayar Elokim, Vayeda Elokim. Why? Ki Afa Pishin Nishlam Hazman. Because even though the Zman came, Kimoshim Meforsh Aydei Cheskel, but Loi Hayu Ru'uim LaHigoyal. The Gula would not have come because it was the time. The Gula did not come because the time had come. The Geula came mipnei hatsa'aka kibel tfilos and barachamin. It's only because of the tsa'aka, says the Ramban. The tsa'aka of Klal Yisrael is what brought the Geula. And we mentioned this in the Agada of Yitzaku. The tsa'aka of Klal Yisrael. What is tsa'aka? Tsa'aka, the Rapinkas explains, tsa'aka is a type of tefillah. It's different than every other tefillah. The tsa'aka is the tefillah of Be'ez Tzara. You know, there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. There's a mitzvah of davening every day, and there's a mitzvah of davening in Eis Tzara, when it's a difficult time. The tefillah be'Eis Tzara is a tzaaka. And why is, what is a tzaaka? Tzaaka is when a person gives up a certain amount of hope. The person themselves doesn't even know if they could ask. They don't know what to ask for. They can't even verbalize what they want. So they can't just daven. They can't just explain what they want because they themselves don't know what they want. They themselves don't have an etza of how to get out of their situation. Klal Yisrael is a whole nation of slaves. Egypt is the superpower of the world. There is no slave ever left Mitzrayim. There was no one ever got freed. This was an impossible situation. How are they supposed to? And there's a promise that they have from 400 years ago to Avraham Avinu. But they have no hope. They don't know how they're going to, what should they ask for? What are they asking? You know, put this, there's no etza al piderach hateva for this to happen. Sa'aka means when you've gone to the point that there is nothing else, there's nowhere else to go, and there's nothing else that even you have to articulate. You can't ask for anything. And you just cry out and cry out and say, Hashem, I it's up to you because I have no way of getting out of this situation. All I could do is cry out to you. And if all I could do is cry out to you, that was the tzaaka that Klal Yisrael did at the time of Mitzrayim, and that's what got them to, that's what brought the Geula. Is that point of Klal Yisrael, the breaking point of Vayitzaku, when they realized there was no more Eitzah, and they put themselves in, they came to that Hakara, that everything is Biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they are completely in at a loss. They've lost any way to get out of the situation themselves. That's the tzaaka. They can't even verbalize what they want, and they just yell out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that tzaaka is what brought out the geula in the days of Mitzrayim. In the days of Purim, it's the same thing. In the days of Purim, Klal Yisrael reached a point. The decree was finalized. It was stamped. It was sealed. There was a final decree from the king, and they were completely at a point where there was no al pi derech hateva, any way to change it. Right? Once the letter goes out from the king, that's it. There's nothing else to do. There is no way out of it. And Mordechai knew that this was the Nisayon of Klal Yisrael. Would they come to the Hakara that there is no way out of this except for putting their complete bitachon in Ribono Shel Olam? And he knew that because Ruach HaKodesh, and he understood that maybe was the shirish of the Chatoim, but he knew that this was the Nisai. And Mordechai comes and he's trying to teach Esther this lesson. Because Klal Yisrael could have thought to themselves, hey, you know, we have pull. We have a way of getting connections with the king. Look, Achisenu b'beis Malchus. We have Esther, we have pull with the king. And Mordechai comes to the beis Malchus, and he comes b'levush sak, and Esther sends him clothing and says, I think you should, you know, listen, I'll get you an appointment with the king, change clothing. And what does Mordechai say? Lo kibel. He didn't want his sak, says the Vilna Goyim. Why didn't he want to change out of his sak ve'efer? Because lo yirotza levatam atfilos ve'efilu sha'achas. Because he knew, he didn't want to give the wrong impression to the Jewish people. You think that if I change clothes and I now have an appointment with the king, that's going to help? No. We have to give up everything and understand that it's not any of our pull. There is no way out of this. The only way to do this is through tefillah and we have to realize Hashem runs the world, and there is no way to finagle that, and there's nothing that we can do to add to it in our hishtadlus. We have to just realize it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu running the world. And when he comes to Esther Amalka and he says, go in, Esther says, okay, I'll go in, but it's not a good time now. Look, you know, there's a system, and I'll go in when it's good, and I'll go in when I have, the king will listen to me, and, you know, that will work. So she says, you're going to go in? Mordechai says, no. The whole point of this is not to go in when it's good, not to think that the king, Achashverosh, is getting us out of this. We have to go in right now. It's Pesach. It was the first day of Pesach. Now is the Zman of the Geul of Mitzrayim, when the Jews realize that, right? The first day of Pesach is when he sent her in. And this is the time that Hashem listens to our tzaka. And Hashem listens to when we realize that there's nothing else in the world except for his koyach. You're going to go in right now. You're not going to wait till it's a good time. Because this is the time that we need. And she says, okay. And she says, we'll go in right now. And not only that, I'm going to fast 3 days. Fast 3 days, you're going to look like, you know, maybe you should eat well before and prepare. No, fast 3 days. Prepare for tefillah. And put all of our bitachon in Ribono Shel Olam and say, this is the time that we have to fast. This is the time that we have to put our full bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to understand this is the way out of this tzar. And this is ultimately what God saw out of it. And not only that, Esther didn't, I don't want to go too off tangent, but Esther didn't even want the Jewish people to make that mistake. The Gemara says, why did Esther invite Haman to the Suda? Esther invited Haman to the Suda because she didn't want the Jewish people to think, oh, Esther's here, she's taking care of it, she has pull. She invited Haman to the Suda so Kleisel shouldn't think that Esther's on their side. Kleisel shouldn't stop davening. Because if they see that Esther's working out, oh, she's working things out with the king, it's good. No, she invited Haman to the Suda, and now Kleisel says, even Esther's against us. Now they started davening even more. So the Gemara says, so the whole Nisoyan of here, Purim, was to show it's not any pull, it's not there's nothing else in the world that can change the situation except for putting our bitachon in Ribono Shel Olam and having a Kadosh Baruch Hu control the world. This is the Geula of Purim as well. And like we say in the tefillah, Bris Grov says, when it says Chu Osam Hayisam Hayisol Lanetzach V'Tikvasam B'chol Dor V'Dor, the tikva came through our tefillah. The Bris Grov says Tikvasam B'chol Dor V'Dor means the Kadosh Baruch Hu is our hope. The hope means that is our hope. We don't even have hope that anything else will work. Even our hopes are only that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will take us out. That's the tikvasam b'chol dar v'dar. And it says, chu'asam ha'yisal anecha, Yeshua. You know, we say in Shemoneh Esrei every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is melech, oizer, umayshia. What's the difference between oizer, he helps us, umayshia? So the Malbim says, oizer is when someone helps the other person, but there's two people involved. So you're doing a little bit and he's doing a little bit. He's oizer. So sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us through our own ishtadlus. So we do a little bit and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes our ishtadlus and he does the rest. That's an oizer. But most of the time, Hashem is Moshia. Moshia is when the Hishtadlus played no role whatsoever. It was only HaKadosh Baruch Hu who did it 100%. And that's when Klal Yisrael was too awesome. There was HaKadosh Baruch Hu used that Midah of Yeshua. Is when we realized that it's not up to us at all. It's not, we have nothing else to rely on. We have nothing else to put our tshua in. We have nothing else that we can rely on. And we have to put all of our tefillahs to Ribono Shel Olam to say, it's all up to you. That's ultimately what brings the geula. That was the geula of Purim, and that was the geula of Pesach. And that's this time of year, is that when we have to come and say, there is no other power or force in the Bria. There is nothing else that matters. The Aruch HaShulchan says in the beginning of Hilchos Pesach, the very first halacha, he says, a chodesh is elachem. Why? Because the chodesh of Nisan is symbolized by the mazal tleh. The chodesh of Nisan is the chodesh of the teva. Is when the world starts running again. It starts blossoming and the fruits start growing. And people, that was the avodah zarah of Mitzrayim, was the world of teva. They worship the seh, which is the beginning of Nisan, which is basically symbolized the world of teva. And they, al pi derech teva, you know, the Mitzvah would have won. And he explains that was the whole machlok between Parah and Moshe. Has a very nice piece there, Tav Chav Tes, the very first halacha. And he says, we go ahead and shecht the seh on Purim, on Pesach. We go ahead and take that seh and say, no, that seh that you think is nature and that you think that seh does something for you, Mitzrayim, we shecht it completely and we say, no, it's all Ribono Shel Olam. And it's all Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when we are put in a tzara, the Rambam says, that the chiyuv of an ace tzara for everybody is lizoik. Rambam says when something happens to a klaiso mitzvah sasem in atar, the first halach and tainis, lizoik ulehariya bechatzoitzres. You have to be zoik, which is like tzaka. You have to do tzaka. When a tzara comes, Hashem wants to hear our tzaka. The same thing that klaiso felt in that time of Mitzrayim, that they felt that there is no way out and teva wasn't going to work for them and there was nothing that they can do. Other than Davin, every time
Klai Yisrael is faced with a tzara. Hashem is waiting for our tzaaka. Hashem wants to know, did you finally come to that realization that it's all up to me? It's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there is nothing else to do other than davening. Did you come to that realization yet? Now, when we're put in this situation where every single thing that we could possibly rely on is crumbling in front of our eyes, everything that a person's parnasa was, and everything that a person's plans were, and all of our ideas, and everything that we normally do, and our plans, and we're going to spend Yom Tov like this, and we're going to have our family like that, and we're going to go shopping this way, and we're going to get a hold of that, and we're going to travel here, and we're going to travel there, and we're going to get money from here, and we're going to have our job there, and we have our everything lined up for the next, you know, our mutual funds, and everything's lined up for the next 10 years, and we're good, and we have our job, and security, and we're all good. And then all of a sudden, in 2 days, in about 2 weeks, the entire planet falls apart, and every single thing that anybody could have thought they could rely on completely disintegrates. And things that never happened before are just like, you know, day by day, you know, there's no more planes. There's no more traveling. There's no more even driving. You can't even leave your... Nothing that we think is normal anymore. And everything that we once thought was... So what's that message? And again, we're not saying this is why... But at least what could we grow from it? What could we take out of it? We're being put in a situation that's telling us, don't think that you could rely on anything like that. Don't think you can rely on the those things which you were relying on till now. We have to come to that point of tza'aka and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is up to you. We can't rely on any of those things that we relied on till now. We can't, because we have to come to, this is the moment for us to realize that no, it took this far for us to come to the realization that we were relying on the wrong things the whole time. HaKadosh Baruch had to take it all away in order for us to realize that really, it's not there. It was never there. But we never realized that. And now we have to come to that realization. And you know what? It's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our parnas is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And our refuah and our health is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we thought we could, you know, we're pretty healthy, we're good. And now in order to stay healthy, you have to stay behind locked doors. You can't see a human being or a soul. That's how you're going to stay. It's there's nothing that we can rely on anymore. Now, what is that enough to come to that realization? That we come to that realization once and now we're good? So this is a gewaltig vart, and I've said this vart many times, but it's mamish fits right into this. That the Rabbi Yerucham says that in Parshas Bishalach, it says, Uparei hikriv, that Parai came close to Klal Yisrael. Now the Medrash asks Akasha, that it should have said Paro Karav. Paro came close. Paro Hikriv means he made someone else come close. So what does it mean? So the Medrash says, Hikriv es libam la'avim shebashamayim. That Paro created a closeness between Klal Yisrael and Ribbono Shel Olam that did not exist before. When he approached the Jewish people, he approached them in such a way that he approached them in a way that they were stuck. Like the Medrash says in Shir HaShirim, they were like a little bird stuck in a crevice of a stone and a snake was coming in. They can't escape. The Yam is on one side. The Mitzvah on the other. There's nowhere to go. Where are you going to go? Go to the Egyptians or jump into the Yamsuf? There's nothing you can do. So what do you do in that situation? Paray made them realize that by putting them in that situation, Paray Hikr, Paray made Klal Yisrael realize it's always all Talia and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu we need to realize that this is all Talia and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's when they jumped into the Yamsav and put themselves in the hands of Hashem. But till Paray, they needed the Eis Tzara to make them realize that. But Rabbi Yerucham is Medayik, the Medrash, unbelievable Diyak. The Medrash says that at that moment, Tafsu umnus avoisam biyadam. They grabbed the umnus. They grabbed the art of their avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. In other words, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were the ones who established prayer, and Klal Yisrael was weak in tefillah, and now they got strengthened in tefillah. So says Rabbi Yerucham, I don't understand. The tefillah of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Avram tikkun shacharis, Yitzchak tikkun mincha, Yaakov tikkun arvis, they were mesakin, the regular tefillahs that we say every day. This is not the tefillah that Klal Yisrael did. They reached a whole new level. They reached a tefillah be'ez tzara, like we're talking, a tza'aka. They yelled out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says Rabbi Yerucham, no. Avram, Yitzchak, and Avram's shachris every day was with the full understanding of tza'aka. He understood every shachris that really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything's up to you. When Avraham Avinu said, Baruch Aleinu, give me your parnasa, it's not because, you know, I have pretty good parnasa, and Hashem, you know, just status quo is good, and I have a good job, I'm smart, I'm a good guy, just, you know, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, kind of, if you mind your own business, I'll be fine, you know. That's what most of us think. You know, I'm pretty good. I have a steady job. As long as my boss doesn't fire me, so Hashem, don't put an idea in my boss's mind to fire me. But other than that, I'm good. You know, no. You have to realize everything that happens constantly is only the gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Refuah, look, I'm pretty healthy. Yeah, give refuah to all the people. I say I'm pretty good. When are you pretty good? No one's good unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you health, is giving you what you need. The Vilna Gaon says unbelievable pshat in Dever. It says Dever is the Yad HaChazaka. In Agadah we say Yad HaChazaka Zuha Dever. So why is Yad HaChazaka Zuha Dever? Zuck the Vilna Gaon. Because you think Dever's pestilence, quote unquote. Dever means that the animals died. How they died? There was like a magefa, and one animal caught it from the other. And Mamela was like a disease, and the animals didn't do their social distancing. So Mamela, the animals all died because they caught this disease from each other. Says the Vilna Gaon. All the animals in Mitzrayim died in one instant. How's that possible? The Vilna Gaon says, because nothing lives without the Hashpa'ah, without a Kodesh Baruch Hu wanting it to live. So a Kodesh Baruch Hu took away his Ratzin to have them live for a moment, and by a Kodesh Baruch Hu taking away their Ratzin for them to live, for that moment they died. That means that without a positive bracha from Hashem giving us life, we can't live. And that was the Yad HaChazaka. We finally realized through Dever, not the Yad HaChazaka of Dever, but we realized that living is Yad HaChazaka. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yad HaChazaka is constantly. That's what Dever is teaching us. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. But the point is that without, this is the opportunity that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov didn't need the Tzara to make them realize that every Shacharis, when he's davening, Rifa'inu means keep me healthy. You're the one keeping me healthy the whole time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on a regular day. Baruch Aleinu, you're giving me the Parnasa every day. Chayin Adas, give me the understanding. Anything I understand is only you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving it to me. And that's you giving it to me every day. But sometimes we don't realize that, like Klai Yisrael didn't realize it. And they needed Paro to stick them in that little deep crevice of the stone for them to realize that really this is how you're supposed to daven in the Eis Tzara. But the point of the Eis Tzara is that this is how you should daven all the time. And that's why they got now back to the Darga of the Avos. So, like I said in the beginning, it's not enough for us to say, you know, no, we're out of it. No, we have to grow from it. And what's the growing? We have to grow with this understanding. Kodesh Baruch Hu is in control. Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world. And everything we have is a gift from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if this has to show us that really there's nothing else to rely on. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu is running the world. A Kodesh Baruch Hu is in control. And this is what we have to come to realize. When we come back to shuls, and we come back with this new understanding, we're going to say, when I daven Rifa'enu for all those choylim, I understood that there was nothing that anyone can do except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu could help them. And now I have to understand that every day when people are healthy, also HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that can help them. And this has to go and affect the way we daven and the way we look at things all the time, not just in the Eis Tzara. It's got to transfer over and carry over like the Tavsu Umanus Avaisam, and we should reach that level of the Tefillah of the Avos, the way they did it. The Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael just sent out a letter yesterday to my Etzes Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, all the Rosh Yeshivas, signed the letter giving two Etzes, and they're both around this idea. One Etzes, I'll just mention it because it's a mitzvah to mention it, the Rabbi Mashane, the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. Number one is that they said is to have kavana in extra kavana in Kriyat Shema, because Kriyat Shema is when we're makabel all malchus shemayim. When we say Hashem Echad, we say Hashem is not just one. It means Hashem is the only one. It means there's nothing else other than a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The health that we have, the parnasa that we have, the things that we rely on, all that is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and all that is Hashem Echad. So we have to have more kavana when we're kabbal Om Achushmaim to understand this is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're Echad, and this is the only strength that we can be yoinik from is the Kodesh Baruch Hu's strength. And the second one they said is that's very good for while you're saying Kriyat Shema, but how does that transfer over to the rest of the day? The way it transfers over to the rest of the day is by mea brachas. Is when a person, when they're saying brachas, is constantly thanking Hashem and realizing this thing I have now is a bracha from you, Hashem. This that I have, this apple, is a bracha from you, Hashem. This that I am full now, that I ate, is a bracha from you, Hashem. This that I taste the food, like we spoke in the first part of the shir. This that I taste the food, it's a bracha from you, Hashem. This that I'm healthy. Everything that we have is a bracha, and we should realize that, and the mea brachas is there to remind us of this point, and to constantly give us that reminder of the mea brachas. So what we have to realize, I think, is these 2 points. Is number one, is that this situation is the biggest reminder we can get to the full power and control of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And second of all, and that should affect the way we daven constantly. And part of that is the Kabbalah Somach Shemaim, and part of that is also the mea brachas. But I want to say one other point. I want to say one other thing as well. That when we see that everything that we thought is important, and everything that we, you know, are used to, and we see all that crumbling in front of us and falling apart. So besides the fact that we have to realize that really we shouldn't have been relying on it the whole time, and we should have realized the whole time that it was a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's one other thing that I think we have to realize, and it's very, very important. We have to realize that really this is part of what we're supposed to understand from this whole situation is that really we never needed those things to begin with. Those things that we're missing now, many of those things are things that we should now come to the realization that, you know what? They weren't that important to begin with. We didn't need those trips and those vacations and those flights and those restaurants and the shopping and all the things that we can't do, and we're satisfied by just being in our homes and being safe with our family. We have to realize those things that we've been busy with all the time as distractions were only distractions. We don't need them. And maybe this is the time for us to come to that realization for once and for all, that all these things, we talk many years, when Shabbos HaGadol on Pesach, we've discussed many times how many of those things from the world around us creep into our culture. And that Pesach is there, that we're not supposed to allow all those things from the outside to creep in, but they all have crept in. And all the Pesach hotels, forgive me for saying, and the vacations, and the restaurants, and the fancy foods, and the everything that we're accustomed to, all the extra shopping, is all like narishkeit now. No one cares about any of that. Everyone's satisfied to be home, a little bit of matzah, some meat, some chicken, and I'm good. I don't need anything else. I'm not going out to get the fancy thing, and I'm not going out to get the new this, and I'm not going to go to this place or to that place. And I'm going to be satisfied with being with my family and with being at a Seder and fulfilling the mitzvahs and realizing that when I'm behind the closed door by myself, I'm with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and all of these other things are just distractions. And how important is it that Klai Yisrael needed a little bit of a wake up saying, you know what, all these things that we became so accustomed to, we don't really need them. And this is an opportunity for us to realize that as much as these things creep in, they've changed the way we view things. They've changed the way what is a Yom Tif? The Yom Tif is about the menu and what you're going to serve. And now, what am I going to serve? I don't know. It's just me and my family. I'll make some food, and that's it. Some potatoes and chicken. What else do I need? And the Yom Tif is not about what new thing you're going to get. And the Yom Tif, it doesn't have to be about all these other things. And which hotel you're going to, which trip you're going on, Chol Moed trips. And people called me with shailas. Am I allowed to do this art project with my kids on Chol Hamoed? It's a beautiful question to ask. At least you're spending time with your family on Chol Hamoed. And not, you don't have to be, you know, the simple things in life become real and they become important. And that's also something that it's an opportunity for us to look inward and realize. There's a unbelievable idea from Rav Dessler. And this Rav Dessler, Rav Chaim Waxman spoke it up, and then I saw it written up also by someone else. And Rabbi Waxman said, this Rav Dessler is like Nevuah, basically. And Rav Dessler talks about that the end of Malchus Edom, which we're in, the Gullus of Edom, the fourth Gullus of Edom, will end very differently than all the other Gullus. all the other Goliaths, there was one superpower, and eventually another superpower took it over. So Paras, Yavan, Paras, Modai, Yavan, each one was conquered. Yavan was eventually conquered by Rome, and each one was conquered by the one next to it. But Yaakov Avinu in his dream saw that Malchus Edom, no one ever conquered it. And Yaakov Avinu got nervous in his dream. But what happened? Hashem says, don't worry, you're right. Malchus Edom is going to come up all the way to the Kisei Yaakov, but then I'll take care of it. And Rav Dessler says that Malchus Edom is so powerful and it will take over the whole world that it's impossible, Piteva, for any power in the other world to destroy it. There is no other power in the world strong enough to destroy Edom. To destroy the superpower, Edom means the Western culture, the way we think, the way the Christian world, which means the whole Western civilization, the way we think about things. And like we're saying, what they've taught us about how to view certain things and what's important, what's not important, and their whole view of the Western civilization is so powerful that how could that, you know, who's going to conquer, who's going to destroy that? Who's going to destroy the Malchus of Edom today? It's the whole world. Says Rav Dessler, the only way it could be destroyed is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And he says the following. He says that He says Churbana shel Edom is only going to come through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Churbana shel Edom yavoi rak ayidei churban olam hazeh. The world as we know it, the things which people think are important in this world are just going to be destroyed. Kasher mevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu esoilam lamatzav. Hashem has to bring the world to a situation she yesoideis chaya olam hazeh yismoitetu. Hashalva tisari. People won't be at peace. Chaya prati hafchu l'chaya daga. We're going to be at fear, pachad v'yisurim, v'chol oilam kula yam v'tachas emas heret. People are just gonna, and people are gonna realize that everything. Oz yakiru es haheder v'hefshid shebechay oilam hazeh. Finally, people will realize that everything that they thought was important, we don't need it. It's not so important. K'shem merukonim mikol toichen ruchni. Because if you realize at the end, if you don't have any spiritual connection, then it's not worth it. When a person can no longer get those things that he's been running after his whole life, that's when Mashiach will come. Mashiach will have to come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself makes us realize that all those things that we were running after and all the Olam Hazeh that we were running after, we can't get it. And once we can't get it, we realize we don't need it. And we need to realize that we don't need it. Because once we realize we don't need it, that's when ultimately Mashiach can come, because that's when we can connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, to chazer over, the job that we have is to rise to the challenge. It's not to just to walk out of here as, you know, as the same people, but to walk out of here better people. To walk out of this situation and look back and say, what did I grow from this? Did I rise up to the challenge, or did I just curl up and hide and hope that it's over? I have to rise up to the challenge. And how do I rise up to the challenge? We rise up to the challenge by realizing now that the things that we relied on, we can't rely on them anymore. We need to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And we need to put more reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and express that through our tefillah based Sarah that Tza'aka. And hopefully that Tza'aka that we do now should transfer and should change over into the rest of the year. When we do get past it, in Yetz Hashem, We will bring that tzaka that we had into our daily Shemon Esrei. Our daily bracha of Chonin Adas won't be, don't make me forget everything. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to give me Das. You have to give me Refuah. You have to give me a Parnasa. And that's the attitude that we should have in our tefillah now. And for sure, moving forward, that's what we want to grow from. We want to grow from having a tefillah based tzara like Avram Avinu, every shachris, every mincha, every ma'ariv. We should do like the avos, like the Gedolim said, when we makabel omach shemayim kriyashma, remember Hashem Echad. We should remember that our mea brachas is the way that we constantly can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu about all the things that he constantly gives us. And then we should realize that maybe losing these things is an opportunity for us to realize we didn't need them all along. And that's another connection we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't let these things be our distraction. Realize that these things all along, all they were was a distraction. And really we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without these things. And perhaps we needed this reminder because we haven't realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. And we didn't realize the Olam HaShemayim. We didn't realize well enough, but with a reminder, we can realize it. And with a reminder, we can step up to the plate and understand that this is our challenge and we're going to rise up to the challenge. I mentioned the other night of Vard and people got chizik from it, so I'm going to mention it again, that at the end of the Haggadah, we after the four kaisis and after, you know, Baruch Hashem, we've done the mitzvahs. I think so. We say, I think it's after the So at the very end of the Seder, the last. Before we finish the last cup, but right after the Suda, right before the Hallel, so we say, and what do we do there? We open up the door, and we allow Eliyahu Navi in. And most people think, what are we doing? We're inviting Eliyahu Navi in. And we're inviting Eliyahu Navi in, and that's the end of the night is the invitation to Eliyahu Navi. Mishabura says, no, that's not what's going on. Mishabura says, you know what's going on? It's really the Ramah. The Ramah says in Sin Tav Pei, we open the door, v'leftoyach ha-pesach, k'dei lizko shuhu leil shimurim. We remember that it's leil shimurim. That means we open the door to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, till now we thought that we needed the door to protect us from the outside. Now we realize, after this whole avoida, getting ready for Pesach, and especially this year, like we're saying now, and then we finally went through the Yom Tov, we went through the Siddur, we ate the matzah, we ate the mar, and then we finally left Mitzrayim. That's it. We did the whole magid. We did Ki'ilu Chayav Adam L'Rasat and Ki'ilu Yatzim Mitzrayim, and finally we left Mitzrayim. Now what? We left Mitzrayim, and now we come to that realization. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all up to you. And this realization allows us to say, we can open the door now. We don't need a door to protect us anymore. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you protect us. What happens when we do that? What happens when we open the door for Hashem, and we open the door and say, you know what, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm inside the house, and you protect me. Because I don't need anything else. I finally came to that realization that the Jews came to on Purim, and on Pesach, and in every tzara when Klal Yisrael calls out to Hashem, I came to that realization tonight. I realized that I don't need the door anymore. So I open the door, k'dei l'rames, says the Ramah, lizkor shu leil shimurim, says the Mishnah Berurah, v'ein misyarin mishum davar. L'rames, says the Mishnah Berurah, she'anu ma'aminim, she'kishem she'ga'alonu Hashem yizbarach mitzrayim hu yigaleinu oid. So Hashem will redeem us again. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you have bitachon in me. You realize this. You finally realized it after all these years, you know, making the mistakes of being relying on all these other things. And now you finally realize that you don't need the door to protect you. All you need is a Kadosh Baruch Hu to protect you. What happens? B'schus emun azu, says the Ramah, yavoi Mashiach v'yishboich chamos ala akum. So it's not that we're opening the door for Mashiach, for Eliyahu Navi. It's the opposite. We're opening the door to express our own emunah. But once the door is open, Eliyahu Navi can come in. Because once we've opened the door, now Eliyahu Navi can come in and usher in the geula. And that's what it says. The Ram is she'anu ma'aminim she'kishem she'ga'alanu Hashem yizbarach mimitzrayim hu yiga'alenu oid v'yishlach lonu es Eliyahu levasreinu. Then Eliyahu will taka come in the schus of the emunah of Klal Yisrael, just like the Geul of Mitzrayim, like the Ramban we started off says, that in the Schus of the Tza'aka of Klal Yisrael, in the days of Mitzrayim, there was Zoichet to the Geula, even though it was the time. It was the time, but the time is not enough. They needed the time, but the Ramban says that they needed to cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Mitzvah Shem, just like in the days of Mitzrayim, they cried out, and that brought the Geula. And they realized that Tza'aka, our cries to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and our realization that really it's all up to Hashem, will also be the schus for us to see the geula. And by opening up the door, this Seder, and we have that bitachon, and we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we finally realize what we're supposed to realize, that it's really up to you, Hashem. And we finally realize that. And it's Hashem, like the Ramah says, and the Ramah Shabura says, that should bring the geula b'meher v'yameinu. Amen. We should all be zoicha b'meher v'yameinu. Yeah.
Thank you, Shkach. Some of you may have heard different parts of it, but...